Hi, my name is Ali and I'm the founder of She Mentors, a membership site for women in business. We're a diverse community of professionals, business owners, side hustlers, job seekers and entrepreneurs, all with one thing in common. We each donate 1 hour of our month to another member during the mentor hour. In today's episode, I chat with one of our lovely members. Her name is Alexis Harvey and she's a money and mindset coach who helps entrepreneurs change the way they think and manage their money. I really love her approach to budgeting, tracking and analysing your money. But for her, it's not just about what we're spending our money on, it's more about how it makes you feel. So there's loads of really juicy insights to unlock in this episode. So let's dive straight in. Alexis, thank you so much for being on the She Mentors podcast with us. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. Such a pleasure.
So Alexis, you're no stranger to She Mentors. You've actually spoken at an event in Melbourne last year. It was on all things money and negotiating and finances. And you're so good. And we got so much great feedback that I wanted to invite you onto the podcast to share some of those tips with us today. So for those people who don't know anything about you, do you want to give a little intro about you and your business?
Yes. So I help purpose-driven entrepreneurs and professionals to change the way they think about money and also change the way that they practically manage their money so that they can have less stress and more choices, basically, and be able to live more in alignment with their values and make progress towards their goals and the things that are really important to them in life. So it's the mindset work and the, you know, psychological, you know, emotional stuff that's driving your behavior. And then also marrying that with practical action and application so you can make that really tangible change.
I love it. So how did it all begin? Because you've obviously gone from working full time and then, you know, into your own business. So talk us through that. How did it all start?
Yes, well, it all started actually from a raw food market stall that I started while I was working full time as an engineer. It was just for fun. It was just a passion project. But while I was doing that, there was a woman there that had another, that had her own market stall that told me that I should be thinking about this as a business. And she put me onto lots of business resources, including people like Marie Forleo. And it was then that I really started to understand, you know, what it was to build a business and that maybe I could do something that I was really passionate about because I was not passionate about my job. And eventually I left my job to just take some time out initially and discover what I wanted to do, pursue my passions. But 6 months into that, I had spent all of my savings. I had no real consistent income yet, and I just had no idea what to do. It's completely terrifying. And it was in that moment that I realized that this money piece was a really important piece for me to be able to do what I wanted to do. And I just committed myself to figuring that out. So over the next 12 months, I built my own money management system and I applied myself to all the mindset work as well to try to just work out how I could actually create a life that felt much more in alignment with what I wanted to do and financially make that sustainable. So in 12 months, I'm doing that. I managed to save 30 grand without having a full-time job and without having a thriving business or anything. So what that showed me was that if you do really apply yourself, if you do really apply yourself both to the practical and to thinking and approaching it differently, you can create really significant change. And the people around me in my life started to be really interested in how I was doing this and wanted to try to use my system, which they did. And, you know, they were starting to get really good results. So it really started from there that then, you know, I thought, well, you know, this is something I'm really passionate about. It seems like a lot of other people could use this as well. And that's how, yeah, I started this business, helping people with money.
That's amazing. So that was your own personal experience. And I think all of us can relate to that because
yeah.
Money struggles and it's really difficult to manage your money, isn't it, generally, and let alone when you're starting a business and you don't really know what you should be spending, what you should be saving. So you created a money management system to help you with that, and then you started coaching people based on that framework, was it?
Yeah, based on that framework and the other principles, I guess, I discovered about understanding your behavior, what drives your behavior, your beliefs, how do we actually really change that? Because it's one thing to have a practical system. Like, I'm sure a lot of people have tried to implement a budget before and then you just give up or it just doesn't work somehow. And that's where that other piece really comes in as well. And I find that's really important to address, because sometimes when we just look at the practical and we find that we're just not implementing or it's just not working out, and then we feel like, you know, we're a failure and it's never going to work, that's when it's really important to look at what's driving your behavior and your habits as well.
And what were your sort of personal struggles during that time? So when you look back at it now and you can kind of identify, what were those, some of those moments?
I think that one of the first struggles that I had with money that I had to overcome was overspending. And I didn't overspend, like, you wouldn't have looked at me and thought, oh, you know, she's a massive overspender. And I wasn't getting myself into debt or anything, but I would kind of just have this level of money that I was comfortable with in my bank account, you know, say around $4,000 or $5,000. And unconsciously, whenever I had more than that, I would just spend it. I would just spend it on clothes, things that I bought online. I like honestly don't even know what I would spend it on, but it would just go. So after my first year of working full time, when I was on a six-figure package, by the end of that year, I didn't have any more money than when I started, or maybe I had a couple of grand more. And when I realized that, that was my first like financial wake-up call. I was horrified. So overspending was, I think, was the first thing, which is also what led me to spend all of my savings so fast once I actually quit my job, was because I didn't change any of my spending habits, and I also didn't know how to, because it was really compulsive for me to spend. It was like a dopamine hit, you know, to go and buy that large coffee, or go and eat something out, or go and buy some clothes, or buy something online. So overspending, and then secondly, I would say earning my own income. So not just getting paid a wage by someone, actually being self-employed and going out there and getting paid for my services would be my second probably biggest challenge that I've had, with money.
And how did you overcome it then in that year? So, I know that you kind of created the money management program. But how did you overcome those initial like spending? Like, how did you get the $30,000 in your bank account, for example?
So a really big part of that was using this money management system, which I called the Abundance Planner and Tracker, because I planned and tracked all of my financial abundance, my money. And so a big part of that was becoming so aware of all of the money that I spent. Every single day I would have to write down what I spent, and that's what enabled me to start to change some of these habits. And I guess also being in a position where I didn't have any savings left and I wasn't earning much, I really had to change those habits. I had to be so intentional about the money that I was spending, and it was really hard, but that's when I managed to change it. And I think a big part of it was being completely on top of every cent that I spent and what I spent it on.
I'm really guilty of that. I was like, I'll spend stuff on my credit card, and then in my head I haven't really spent it because it's on my credit card, and because it's not in my sort of banking apps because it's separate, I kind of convinced myself that it never really happened, and then I have to pay this big chunk off at the end of the month, which I do. But it's really bad, isn't it? It's a really bad way to kind of, it's almost like you're living in denial.
Yes, when I was working full time, I also did exactly that. I had a credit card for the points, and I would kind of think I'd be on top of it, but it would always be a shock to me how much it would be at the end of the month when I'd have to pay it. And And it's, you know, when it's not gone from your actual bank account, it's hard to visualize that it is actually gone because you're going to have to pay that at the end of the month.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Okay. Massive struggle. This is why, like, I think it's good to talk to you, because even just like writing everything down is really great. You know, mm-hmm. what exactly have you spent today? Those coffees, that, you know, muffin, the train, everything adds up, doesn't it? So that's, it's a really good way to do it, but I think quite scary as well.
Yeah, it can be a bit confronting, but it is really good, because I feel like everyone that I've got to do this, which is pretty much anyone that works with me, has been surprised when they've actually tracked it and tallied it all up. They've been surprised at how much they've spent on certain things.
And where do you get people to track it?
Where did you say?
Yeah, just in notes on your phone or a spreadsheet or...
So to begin with, if especially if it's something that you have a lot of resistance towards, I get people to just do it in like a paper journal. So writing down, every kind of transaction and also how you felt about it. A lot of people tell me that makes starts to bring some really big shifts for them to identify what they actually felt when they spent that money. Otherwise, yes, in a spreadsheet, spreadsheets are really great, because then as well you can be tallying at the same time.
Mm. So how they felt about things, like what kind of thing?
So if you did a grocery shop, so you write down, I spent, you know, $90 on my grocery shop, and then you have to write how you felt when you spent that money. So a lot of us go really unconscious when we're actually spending money. We're not thinking about it. We're not being really present. So it's really powerful to identify how you felt, because that'll show you sometimes where you feel blocked about spending money. A lot of people feel blocked about spending money on necessities like groceries and stuff. So it will start to give you a good idea about that. And also it might start to show you where you're spending money on things that you don't really value and aren't bringing a lot of value into your life.
Mm, I love that, because I really begrudge grocery spending. But weirdly, when it does come to like $120 or something, I just sort of tap, and I often don't try and acknowledge that it's that much money. I try and, again, just like ignore it and pretend it didn't happen.
Mm. Yeah, totally.
So why do people struggle with these things?
I think there's a few reasons. So firstly, a lot of us don't really get taught about how to manage our money. It's definitely not taught in school, unless you had parents that actively taught you. And even so, I feel like my parents imparted some good financial principles onto me in terms of saving and stuff. But it's still not something that someone usually ever sits down and actually teaches you. And then secondly, it's also a bit of a taboo topic. So people aren't really talking about it a lot, unless maybe they're talking about a financial success that they've had. It's something that we don't really talk about. And so then it can be something that we actually then just avoid thinking about, or we push under the rug. You don't know usually how other people are doing in comparison to you. And that can create shame or like this kind of murky unknown. Then there's also the emotional side of it, where, you know, when we spend money on things, you know, often we're getting a dopamine hit. So we can do it to fill a void or, you know, to make ourselves feel better. And that's very accepted, I think, in society, and it's also encouraged by all the marketing and advertising that you're seeing around you. So you can be doing it to get some kind of emotional fix. And then there is also a lot of emotions tied up in it, self-worth, survival, all of this kind of thing. And then it's something that's largely not really spoken about.
Mm. I was reading a report on CBN just the other day where it said most women between 20 and 34 would give the financial side of their, you know, paying rent and bills to their partners. And I was like, yeah, like it's, sometimes there is a tendency to do that. But I think especially for business owners and for women launching their own businesses, you really need to have a grip on your finances, don't you?
Yeah, totally. And I find it so interesting what you're just touching on, the difference, there is a difference between how men and women as a generalization do money. And if you look back really not that far, women didn't have their own money. Women didn't have a right, you know, not that far back to even inherit or to inherit money or to inherit as much as a male, like their male sibling. And so men typically feel a lot more comfortable and confident in the financial domain. It's really a part of their identity. And for a lot of women, it's not. And if they don't have any strong role models, then it's something that, you know, they can just really easily kind of pass off. So I think that's a really interesting topic and definitely passionate about women building the confidence to decide to really take control of this for themselves.
Mm. I'm actively taking that measure because I think it's a bit of a cop-out, isn't it? Saying, oh yeah, my partner deals with all the finances. Should be a joint decision. And particularly now for me and my business, like I'm having to get really good at every single financial decision. Where am I spending my money? Like, and that's been a real big learning for me. And it's something I don't enjoy doing. And I think it's probably because I'm a more of a creative type. So spreadsheets and finance and not really my thing. And I think, so then I just use that as a cop-out and might push that side of things over to, say, my partner in our domestic life, for example.
Yeah, totally. And I've worked with a few women now who always did have their partners managing the money and managing the finances. And then, you know, it, in their case, when they separated from that relationship, it then becomes really overwhelming. Or I also know women who it's been something that stops them from leaving relationships because they don't feel confident to look after that themselves. So yeah, I think it's really important.
And it's really empowering, isn't it? When like now I know everything that's happening in my business from a financial point of view. Yes, I use accountants, but I'm really across it and I feel very much in control now. And I think that has actually filtered down to my personal life as well. So I think you're right there. It's really, really important to get people managing their own finances and being accountable for it. So it's the new financial year in Australia as of July the 1st. So what kind of tips do you have for us getting organised and getting our finances in order? Because I think lots of us will be going through this right now.
Yes. So the first tip is that I recommend that you do any outstanding tax. So I know a lot of self-employed people like to avoid that and, you know, might even have a couple of years or multiple years stacked up that they actually need to address. So I think firstly, get that sorted. And if you need support and help to actually do that, go and get that. You know, if you need a bookkeeper to just help you get all the numbers together and categorize everything, or if you need to chat to an accountant to help you just come up with a plan of how you're going to do that, then do that. Just go and get that support and make that happen. So I would say that's number one. Then when you do have your figures for the past financial year, review them. Definitely use them to help you make your decisions and plan forward for the next financial year. So I think mostly it's about getting organized. Do any outstanding tax. Make sure you actually look at the figures from the last tax year and, you know, start to just come up with a plan. It doesn't have to be hugely detailed. Just come up with like your one-page business plan for the next financial year.
And what kind of things should we be looking at in the financial year document?
So for the past financial year, just some key things that I think is really helpful to look at is look at all of your income streams and what's created the highest revenue for you. So what are maybe there's one, maybe there's a couple of your products or services that you made the most money from. And then you look at like, is one of those things something that you really want to focus on more? Is there a way that you can simplify and make this easier for yourself? Is any of those income streams, you might notice that, you know, one of them took so much time and energy and potentially even money, they actually didn't really make a lot of profit on it. And maybe one was really easy and you made way more money from doing that. So have a look at that and then that might help you choose your next focus. This can be just really powerful. Maybe you realize, oh, actually, I made a lot of money from running my courses. I made about the same amount from running my one-day workshops, or maybe even a bit less, but that took all exactly the same amount of marketing for a lot less money when I could actually just put all of that time and energy towards my courses, and it's way better leveraged. So looking at that, and then also have a look at your expenses, and particularly, I guess, what your biggest expenses are, and evaluate how, you know, what impact did these expenses make on my business, and is this adding enough value? Maybe you'll see there's something you've actually spent a lot on that, you know, didn't really help you that much. And so you might want to reevaluate the decisions with your expenses.
Mm, that's great. What do you think are the biggest kind of traps for small businesses when they're reviewing those financial year figures, and they're looking at, you know, okay, this is what I spent in a year. What are the biggest things that you've seen from your experience working with clients that are sort of traps that we fall into?
I think sometimes can be, okay, one that I've seen a bit of is advertising. If you're not being really clear, like the money that you're spending on advertising and, you know, Facebook ads being a really popular one, if you're not being really clear on your ROI, the return on investment, what is the purpose? Like, am I just really throwing money down the drain with this advertising and doing it because I think that I should, or do I have a really clear plan of what this is working towards? So I think advertising can be a slippery slope. Like, you know, it's something that's going to take testing and not everything's going to work out, and that's okay. But just making sure you've got a really clear objective with the advertising that you do. Another one can be labor. So it's important just to be efficient with labor, like know, I guess, what value is this adding? And I think actually what I think is, a really good way to look at it is to look at your profit margin and then almost adjust your expenses from that. So look at this, how much money I made. If I get really committed to a profit margin and say, okay, I have to, like, you know, section off, let's say, you know, a 5% or a 10% profit, totally depending on your business and your turnover. But, and then my expenses have to fit into what I've got left. And then that will help you be a little bit more ruthless, and it will help you weed out the things that maybe are, yeah, not adding a lot of value and not really essential.
Mm. And what about for businesses that potentially aren't turning a profit yet? Because lots of people in the She Mentors community are probably in their first 1 to 2 years of business. What advice would you give to them?
So what advice I would give, okay, if you're not turning a profit yet, is to really look at how you can start turning a profit, because that's what's going to make a business sustainable. It's okay in the beginning if you're putting in a bit of extra money. So then perhaps you're not drawing any money out for yourself. So you could, there's a couple of ways you could look at it, just that, okay, I'm going to spend whatever I make on it. Again, depends a little bit on your business. If your business is one that really actually requires capital input in order to grow or not. But I would say if you're in that position, then you could, one way to go about it would be to not draw any income for yourself and just keep putting back in all the money that you're earning. Don't necessarily put in more than that unless you know a way that you're going to make it back, because your business can easily become a drain, like if you just kind of keep putting money in. So know that, yeah, you've got to start turning a profit at some point. It can't chew up all of your money. So just put back in the money that you're making, or put a cap on how much you're going to put in initially. Say, all right, I'm going to put $10,000 capital into my business. It has to start making money from this. I'm not going to put in any more money of my own money. It's got to start generating its own. Yeah.
That's really good. So if someone put in, say, $10,000, would you then suggest to them that they budget accordingly based on that sort of forecast?
Yes. Yeah. So you could budget accordingly. And I think something that's just really important when you're starting a business is it's the uncomfortable part. So it's the part that we can really avoid, is that you've got to start bringing money in. If you're not bringing money in, it's not a business. So budget that $10,000, maybe look at, okay, this is how much I know that I need to get it off the ground. I'm going to budget this out, but it's got to start making its own money by, you know, however many months in. Otherwise, there's something that I really need to change and tweak. There's something that I need to adjust so that it starts doing that.
Mm. Do you think lots of us struggle with, we've had conversations about this before actually, but do you think lots of us struggle with pricing our products and services because we're not quite sure how much to charge, and often we think, oh, we're overcharging? Do you see that a lot?
Yes, definitely. I see a lot of people struggling with that because you're putting your own price on there, and there's, and money is that really kind of sensitive thing, and you, there's people that are going to think you're too expensive. There's also people that are going to think you're too cheap, but there is people that you're going to think that are going to think you're too expensive. Often we think about that, and then we, you know, kind of psych ourselves out a bit, thinking, oh, they're going to judge me. They're going to think I'm a bad person. They're going to think I'm horrible. I'm going to be rejected. All these kinds of things. So yeah, definitely, it's a big one.
Yeah, and I think there's a couple of options that we've always spoken about, which is you can either have a low price product and sort of have masses buying it, or you can up your prices and work with maybe fewer people but have sort of better quality leads. And I think there's always that struggle, isn't there, of like, well, how much can I fairly charge for my work? And often so many of us don't put enough value on what we bring to the table. So it's really hard. So I think for small businesses who aren't earning any or turning a profit yet, I think your advice is good. Like, it, you really need to look at why that is not happening for you right now.
Yeah, and maybe there's expenses that you need to cut so that is turning a profit. Like, do you really need to be, you know, putting money into your website right now or into these other, maybe these nice to have? Like, maybe you have to actually cut some of those things, start turning a profit with it, and then you can reinvest that money. Rather than, you know, doing all the things in the beginning, which I think a lot of us can be really susceptible to. I've done that.
Totally. Yeah, all of us have. And I think, you know, having a website won't necessarily bring you in any revenue, but, and this is what we always say, like, test and learn, ask your audience what they want, put out an offer, build it after they've decided to come. All those things can really help because, yeah, people get really hung up on that and they spend a fortune creating this beautiful website that gets zero traffic. So I think there's some valuable piece of advice there. So in terms of kind of this mindset around money, how can we get into a more positive mindset when it comes to kind of tracking financials and forward planning?
Yeah, great question. So first tip that I would give is to separate facts from feelings. So a lot of the time when we're feeling really negative about money or overwhelmed, we are placing a story on what's going on, and it's not necessarily the facts. So if you can separate, okay, I'm feeling all of these things, I'm feeling scared, I'm feeling like, oh, maybe it's not going to work out, you know, all of this kind of stuff. But what are the actual facts? Well, the facts are that I do have enough money right now, or I have already, you know, got clients. Separating those two out, I think, can be really helpful. And then secondly is to get on top of the numbers. So start tracking all of your numbers, start just creating a bit of a plan. Often what can be really overwhelming and, you know, and enable us to have those stories running is when it's all kind of in the unknown. We don't know exactly what's going on, or we keep feeling like we don't, it's a really common one. We keep feeling like we don't have enough. But when you actually start to look at the numbers, I have just seen time and time again with people that when you actually get all the numbers down, like, oh, like I do have enough. Like, I, you know, that was a bit irrational, and it's a really common thing. So getting clear on all the numbers can really help with that. And then another thing that can really help is to really consciously practice gratitude for what you do have. So I think a bit of a trap that happens for a lot of us is that we get really focused on our goals and what we don't have. So I'm trying to get over here and I'm in lack basically right now because I don't have this thing that I want. Or I'm seeing all this advertising and all this marketing or all these other people on Instagram that have got all these things and I don't have them. And so we get really focused on what we don't have, which can then actually be kind of sabotaging to getting where you do want. So really good thing to do is to just stop and focus on what do I have? Actually, you know, I'm so blessed. I have a roof over my head. I can pay for electricity and good food and, you know, all of these amazing things I just never even think about and I totally take for granted because all I think about is what I don't have yet that I'm trying to get. So that's another one that can really help.
Comparison is such a killer. Like we've talked about this before, like it's all over Instagram. I always talk to people about this. You get surrounded by people who are constantly talking about how they make, you know, seven figures in their first launch of this course or, and it actually is, it can be really demoralizing and it can make you feel completely insignificant and like you're not making anything. When, like you said, if you actually look back and think, what have you achieved in the last year or even the last like 6 weeks or few months? You've achieved so much stuff, but I think we're constantly surrounded by people who are doing bigger and better. So it's really easy to get distracted and then feel like you're not actually making progress.
Totally. And like you, well, I honestly think like you don't know who's kind of telling the truth. and also, yeah, they're, you know, what has led them there, their story, like anyone that looks like an overnight success usually had however many failures under their belt. So I think, yeah, stay in your own lane, stay in your own lane, like really just, you know, focus on where you're at. And yeah, try not to compare or project onto other people.
And it's good to be surrounded by people who are in the same boat as you, going through the same experiences as you, and good to see the people that are really doing well. But I think that's why it's nice with the She Mentors community that everyone is quite transparent and honest about the struggles, because there are so many struggles with building a business in your careers. And I think more people probably need to talk about it. So yeah, I agree. Comparison needs to go. And also in terms of good money habits. So like if you could offer some sort of tips around that, going into the new financial year, like what are the key things that you do?
So definitely tracking your money. Good financial habits. If you've got your own business, separate your personal and your business money. And I think this is something people generally don't really do early on. It's something that people usually will get to later on. But separating them. So then you can also actually separate yourself from your business as well, which is sometimes we almost become our business. And that helps you make financial decisions as well. So when you can see you've got this separate bank account for your business, all business expenses come out of there, all business income goes into there, then you can start to make those decisions like what we were, I guess, relating back to what we were just talking about in terms of you know, what should you invest or how should you manage your money? So then you can see, okay, based on what I've got in that account, you know, maybe I need to wait a little bit before I invest in this other thing, or, you know, maybe I'm going to invest in this course now that I know is going to give me skills in an area that I need to upskill right now. And then you've got your personal money separate. So then you can make personal money decisions effectively as well, you know, rather than what can happen is it's kind of all your money goes into your business and you might, you know, be feeling like, oh, you can't afford to go on a holiday, you can't afford to do this or that. So separating that money, being really aware of the numbers, like I've already mentioned, I would say they're really big things. And honestly, I think actually another really good practice is to separate some of your accounts, so some of your savings accounts. When we have just this one lump sum, you know, sitting in our savings, it can be really easy to draw from it, or we don't have a purpose, nothing actually really pulling us to add money to it. So if you can be really clear on, like, actually I want savings for a holiday and I want savings for backup and I want, you know, savings for this other certain thing, then you can no longer actually take money out of that account if it's not for that purpose. And you actually feel more motivated to put money into those accounts because they do have a strong purpose.
Do you have any apps that you'd recommend people using for those kind of things?
A lot of banks have, like a lot of, I guess, the big four banks have kind of spending apps you can use. I actually don't tend to recommend apps very much because a lot of them auto-categorize your expenses. Mm-hmm. And so then, A, you forget about even using them because you don't have to actively go and do anything in them. And B, a lot of your unconscious spending habits can keep playing out because you're not being accountable or aware of every single transaction. So what if it's something that you can get yourself to do, I would recommend actually doing it either in an app that makes you do it manually or in a spreadsheet where you manually go in and do it.
And would you say, suggest doing that like once a week, every day? Like how would you keep on top of it?
I think that every day is the best way to keep on top of it, especially when you're new to it, because when you are new to it, often you can't remember very easily everything that you just spent money on. So if you wait a whole week, there's all of these expenses and you're scrolling through your internet banking, you're like, I don't even know what that is. What was that? Like, I have no idea. So doing it daily can actually be easier. And then once you actually really make a habit of this, you start, it's like your awareness of your money just goes up and you start to remember, like I can now usually remember like in a week, you know, every time that I've spent money, and it's because I've kind of built that awareness. And so then doing it after a week or, you know, even longer, it becomes really easy.
Mm. And all these tips you recommend, you're obviously doing on a daily basis, which is great. Have you really seen a difference in your finances and how you've managed to grow your business because of this?
Yes, absolutely. I would have spent so much more money on my business if I mean, what I mean by that is when money had comes in, I would have spent way more than I could probably afford. If I wasn't really on top of this stuff and really projecting forward, like how much I was going to need to be paying myself, say, and then what profit I needed to keep. Otherwise, I would have probably just spent all of my profit a lot of the time. So I would say this has really enabled me to create consistency in my business as well and not go through feast famine cycles. Oh, money's coming in, or oh, we can spend money on all these things, and then oh God, like where's it gone? And that is an emotional roller coaster. And that's what can end up, like if you're not on top of the financial part, that's what can end up, you know, causing people to quit their businesses because of the emotional roller coaster, because they haven't figured out a way to make it actually sustainable. So when you do start to get a real handle on all these things and start to realize what boundaries you have and start making decisions in accordance of that, that's when I think you can make your business really sustainable and something that doesn't cause you, you know, huge amounts of stress.
Mm. And you said that you pay yourself. So for an example, when you get all of your money coming into your business account, do you then distribute that out to different savings accounts and pay yourself? How do you manage that?
Yeah, so just to mention, in the beginning of this business, I didn't pay myself for, I don't know, maybe like 6 months. It was like what we said, where I just kept all the money in there and I sustained other income that sustained me. But what I do now is that I pay myself based on all of my numbers and what I know I need and like my income. I pay myself a weekly wage out of my business account into my personal account. Then from my personal account, I think like the day after that comes in, I have a few auto transfers that go out into different savings accounts. And then with my business account, I don't have heaps of savings accounts in my business account. I don't need to. That mostly just has one other savings account and a tax one that I put extra money over into, but I keep like 1 month, I guess, operating expenses, including what I pay myself in my business, probably getting really complicated sounding, in my business transaction account, so that it doesn't matter what cash flow looks like throughout the month, that's in there and that can keep paying, you know, the expenses and me. And then I don't have to stress, you know, like if, you know, someone's payment comes in late or, you know, or at what time in the month money comes in, things like that.
Yeah, that's really useful to hear how you do it. I might start doing that because I'm in a position with She Mentors where all the money that we make goes back into the business, and it probably will be like that for the next couple of years just while we're growing. But it's good to kind of have that mindset of, okay, this is what I'm going to be paying my contractors that I use every month, and maybe even just keeping that aside separately from everything else that comes in, because obviously there are ups and downs with businesses with money flow. So that's really interesting hearing how you do that as well. And with your business now, so you do coaching, you do like one-on-one sessions, you've got online courses. Can you talk a little bit about how those all integrate together in your business, and potentially, even if you don't mind sharing, like what are the big money drivers for you and what actually makes money in your business?
Yeah, so I had kind of initially, I created my kind of big online course, The Wealthworthy Journey. And I, at last year, I wanted that to be the main thing I put energy and attention into. And so I also did one-to-one coaching, but mostly just when people reached out to me, or, you know, when people reached out to me, or sometimes I'd put out posts, but wasn't even up on my website. So that wasn't something that I really focused on. And then I guess that sometimes I would run, you know, people would get me to run some classes or something like that. So there'd be just other little bits and pieces here and there. And now I am creating some more entry level offerings for people that aren't ready for that, for big upfront investments, or for, you know, not just, I guess, the bigger financial investments, but placing so much attention and energy on it, and they just want something to get started with. So I think that's going to be really good for my business. But yeah, with what I currently have, my online course is my biggest earner, and that's what I have put definitely the most time and energy into, and then it would be one-to-one coaching, not too far behind actually. So yes, they're my two main income streams and biggest earners, and I'm going to be adding in some more entry level. I do sell my abundance planner and tracker, the money management system, for like $97. And I get some sales from that, but I don't market it directly. And it's, you know, it's a low cost product. So it's not something where it's definitely not like a big earner like the other two.
The reason I ask is because there's lots of coaches in our community. And I think what I really love about your offering is that it is diverse. So you do have online courses and you are doing one-on-one coaching, because it's actually a way that you diversify your offering and obviously your revenue.
Yeah. A really big thing that has made a very big difference to me, and this actually made a really big difference for me getting my one-to-one coaching, making as much money as it is now, is to come up with like a process that you take people through, like a system or a process that, you know, is obviously effective and works. And that has made the world of difference. I didn't get any like people buying actual coaching packages until I had a process that I took people through, which actually I put together when I put together my online course, and then I tested that with the beta people. And then even the online course, like part of what's so appealing about that is the process that people are going through to get to a certain outcome. So
yeah. And with the process, they're also getting to know you on a personal level, which is really important. So where can everyone find out how to get those lovely things that you offer, like especially the money management program and the online course that you do? Because I've seen the stuff that Alexis puts out and it is awesome. Like, she's really, really great. And you've actually made a massive difference to lots of people in the community. So where can people find out where to get their hands on those things?
So if you just go to my website, alexisharvey.com, it's all on there. So you can see, I think I've got, thanks to you, Ali, I've got my services tab now. We just got the abundance planner and tracker in it. So there's just a system. If you're interested in that, it's also got training videos to go with it. to get started on it. And then, yeah, my online course is there, coaching. I've got a couple of free resources on my website as well, which you'll see on the homepage if you just go to alexishalvey.com. And I've got an end of financial year checklist that I've just put together, actually. So anyone that's got their own business will probably love that. And that's over on my website as well. You'll see that on the homepage.
Yeah, great. So I'll leave links to all of those things in the show notes of the podcast. And yeah, you're part of the members club as well. So for any members listening to the podcast, if you want to request an hour with Alexis, I'm sure she'd love to help you with your money management questions and finances. So thank you so much, because you do make it very easy to understand. And I think you've got a really lovely way about you coaching as well with people. So thanks so much for sharing those tips with us. And
you're welcome. Thanks for having me on the podcast. It's been a pleasure.
Big thanks to Alexis for sharing her insights into money management and also her own business as well. So as mentioned, she has a really diversified product offering now and has tested loads of different income streams, from online courses to one-on-one coaching and membership sites. So it's really great to hear her tips on this. If you want to connect with her, you can visit her website, alexisharvey.com. I'll also link it in the show notes. And for all of our lovely members, you can request an hour with Alexis inside the members club. For anyone wanting to join, please jump over to shementors.com.au/members club. Thank you so much for listening. Always appreciated. See you next time.